So what is a gene drive anyway? Well, it's genetic engineering designed to rig the system of a species in favor of passing on one or several traits with much more than random probability. For example, if you'd like to rig the system so that the mosquito species which transmits the Zika virus is loaded with genes leading to sterile offspring, then that mosquito species will soon die out and become extinct. Then, no more virus vector, no more Zika. However, what are the unintended consequences of gene driving? Award-winning journalist, author, and public interest attorney Claire Hope Cummings joins us by phone. Aloha, Claire.
Oh, good morning, Bill.
So it looks like it's a double-edged sword. And what have you learned about the possible outcomes which may not be so beneficial?
Well, it's interesting the way you introduce the topic of gene drives. What we're saying, a group of people that I'm working with, is that let's take a moment out. Let's stop for a moment and ask the question you asked, which is, what are the other things that can happen here? So one of the purposes of gene drives that's been recommended for Hawaii is to eradicate mosquitoes on the island of Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do that, one of the questions you would ask would be, what about the hoary bats, which are also endangered?
Because...
So if you want to save the honeycreeper, would you do that and get rid of the mosquitoes to do that, impact the other endangered species that are on that island or the pueo? So you're right to ask that question that way, which is, what else happens when we introduce something so powerful like a technology like gene drive?
So are you saying, in effect, that species like the hoary bat and the honeycreepers eat the mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Apparently they do, because the honeycreeper has the scientists or the technologists that are saying they want to use gene drives for that purpose. It was a vector for avian malaria,
and that
was affecting the honeycreeper population. But if there's no mosquitoes, then bats and owls and other animals that feed on mosquitoes would also have the same, would be endangered as well.
So if you take out one of their main food sources? So that would lead to a decline just because they're not getting enough nutrition?
Right, right.
Okay.
So, I mean, it, what we're talking about here is everything's connected, right?
Right.
We're the basic conservation value that living systems are interrelated and interdependent. And to introduce a really powerful technology like gene drives is going to interrupt that system in a way that we really don't know yet. Gene drives have not been tested. They're very powerful. As you said in your introduction, you can wipe out a species rapidly, because a lot of people might be familiar with genetically engineered organisms, right, GMOs. But when you introduce those into the environment, they only have maybe a 50% chance of being, getting their genes into subsequent generations. With gene drives, that drives that trait into the population, and you get maybe more of a 99% death rate, or whatever it is, the trait. If you wanted to turn all flies yellow, you wanted to create trees that glow in the dark, whatever it is that you want to do with that gene drive, you would have a very rapid and very extensive, the technology would take over of all of that species. And evolution and natural selection wouldn't really have as big a role as it does the way it does now. I mean, this really is about interrupting natural selection. And what I want to say about that is that in times like now, when we have all your other programs this morning about oceans and about other issues in the environment, we need the Earth's immune system. And that immune system is genetic diversity, the ability to come back from a plague or a disease or something like that. And in fact, the resistance that's naturally developed from natural selection, the honeycreeper populations in the islands have developed a resistance to avian malaria. So my question is, why aren't we looking at the natural mechanisms and even the cultural mechanisms, such as traditional ecological knowledge and Hawaiian knowledge, the Ike, and saying, how do we best protect the honeycreeper? Instead of starting the question with, oh, whoopee, we have this great new technology, let's just use that. Again, so we're opening it up, right, opening up the questions that need to be asked.
Sort of instead of the genetic cavalry riding in the sunset. I remember a term from at the beginning of the EPA back in the late 70s, they called it chemical jurisprudence, has got to be different from human jurisprudence, where innocent until proven guilty, you almost of necessity have to reverse it for chemicals and genetic modification to say guilty until proven innocent. Is that essentially what the thrust of the argument is, just because of the dangers inherent?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. As a lawyer, I look at this in terms of the fact that we don't have a regulatory system that can look at and study and govern a powerful technology like this. And we found that out with DDT, right? We found that out when we used one chemical for one pest. And that sort of thinking of, well, we don't want the avian malaria, or we don't want Zika, so let's kill all the mosquitoes. It's ecologically unintelligent, right? It's not the right way to look at the way the world actually works and intervene in a smart way, intervene in a way that's conscious of how the world works, but conscious of human communities, cultural communities. You know, I'm really concerned here, for instance, on who's deciding how these technologies go. So we're having a public event on Tuesday. You know, a little promotion here for bringing everybody together and ask who decides about gene drives in Hawaii.
Sounds
good.
We're
going to do that Tuesday.
I wish we could go on right now, but unfortunately we're splicing the time gene out for us. But I really, really appreciate your input today, and thank you for being on the program. Claire Hope Cummings is an award-winning journalist and public interest lawyer. She's worked in Hawaii for over 30 years with Native Hawaiians on the preservation of traditional culture and warns of the dangers that gene drives may present to the land, water, and cultural traditions of Hawaii.